Modern-day alternate reality games, like any art form, owe much to the innovation of their predecessors. Many early ARGs, such as the viral marketing for the film AI and Halo 2's I Love Bees, remain celebrated and discussed to this day, cited as paving the way for everything that followed. While others, despite their foresight, high production value, and admirable execution, live on only in the few players who remember it. I can think of few examples more fitting than a 2001 online game which asked its players to track a UFO conspiracy across their dial-up internet. Using AOL Instant Messenger, faxes that would come in at all hours of the night, phone calls from frightened voice actors begging the player to help them, this game unfolded in a convincing real-world timeline, which could intrude upon the player's work and home lives if they so chose. I'd like to introduce you to the most unfortunate early failure of alternate reality gaming, a digital adventure titled Majestic. Majestic was an online investigation game. Although it came on CD-ROM, to call it a PC game would be reductive, as the game required use of the player's telephones, Blackberries, and fax machines, as well as their computers. The journey began by answering a series of survey questions. Some were expected, such as email address, AOL Instant Messenger handle, phone and fax number, but others, such as the hospital in which the player was born, were a bit stranger. Shortly after, the player received an email from Electronic Arts informing them that the studio responsible for creating and maintaining the servers of the game they just purchased had closed.
Dear Majestic player, due to a fire at our Animex studios, we at Electronic Arts are forced to suspend the online game Majestic until further notice. We're currently doing everything in our power to restore service as soon as possible. We'll keep you informed of our progress. In the meantime, please follow developments on this event at the Portland Chronicle.
It's likely some players believed that the game was over, but once they clicked through to the link at the end of the email, they realized the game had only just begun. By following a series of links leading to webpages and videos, the players fell into a rabbit hole of conspiracy. The fire at Animex Studios was no accident. It was arson, meant to serve as a warning to the studio for probing into government secrets, such as the Roswell Area 51 incident and MKUltra mind control. Of course, the player's job was to ignore this deterrent and assist Animex Studios in their investigations. And as they gathered intel from various websites, some real and some fabricated, the members of Animex began to open lines of dialogue.
Have you seen the TV news clip about the fire?
Yes, I just watched it.
Could have been worse, I suppose. Getting to know your allies is your best bet right now.
I've been doing that. Do you know who I should talk to?
Good luck.
Once the players were in on the conspiracy, they could expect a semi-steady stream of communication from Majestic's in-game characters. Phone calls and voicemails from frantic actors shouting over gunfire would warn the players of impending danger, begging them to find a safe place to hide until further instructed. Faxes would come in, often with alarming information such as personalized medical records including birthday and the hospital in which the player was born. One gamer reported receiving medical documents which detailed how trackers were being injected into children via their vaccines. Due to the frightening and unprecedented nature of these elements, the players had the option to control their desired levels of realism. For example, if they wanted the full experience, they would receive phone calls in the middle of the night, faxes at work, with nothing held back.
I think they're in on it.
Alternatively, if they shared a living space with other people who weren't in on the game, the player could opt for all communication to begin with a disclaimer stating that what followed was part of a video game. The studio behind Majestic was committed to realism. During the 2001 Electronic Entertainment Expo, Majestic won the Game Critics Award for Best Original Game. However, they had the award made out to Animex, the fictional studio which burned down rather than the game's actual production team. The concept for Majestic can be traced back to a radio show Coast to Coast, a nationally syndicated program which served as a platform for many conspiracy theories. Hosted by Art Bell, who Majestic creator Neil Young cites as his inspiration. The show featured a caller who claimed to be a member of a secret government organization known as Majestic 12. As the story goes, Majestic 12 was originally assembled in the late 1940s by President Harry Truman. The team was tasked with investigating the alien spacecraft which crash-landed in Roswell, New Mexico the very same year. It's speculated that this call is what triggered 30-year-old Neil Young, who at the time had been brainstorming ways to push the boundaries of online gaming into uncharted territories, to begin conceptualizing Majestic. As a finished product, Majestic was unique, ambitious, and groundbreaking. But because the public had never seen anything like it before, EA's advertising team had their work cut out for them. After all, the experience Majestic had to offer couldn't easily be distilled into an elevator pitch. So, in keeping with the game's clandestine, conspiratorial themes, the marketing team chose to dress as men in black, leaving secret notes inside of bars and handing out CDs of subliminal messages to random strangers. The commercials were stark and ominous, reminiscent of David Fincher films such as The Game, concluding with the tagline, "It plays you." Once the game was released, EA chose to present the first episode as a free download. Roughly 800,000 players signed up, and after the free trial ended, the number of subscription players stabilized at around 70,000, each paying $10 per month, more than enough to sustain the game. Advanced players had the opportunity to contribute to the game's lore by writing small portions of the game, such as character biographies and news articles. Majestic appeared to be a success. It was beginning to look like a new era of gaming was breaking into the mainstream market, with Majestic heralding its arrival. But only months into the game's run, public opinion began to change, and it wasn't long before the number of subscribers plummeted. After only 4 complete episodes into its storyline, EA officially nixed Majestic, and one of the first instances of immersive alternate reality gaming came to a tragic conclusion. So, what happened? Why did Majestic fail? And why have many of the most enthusiastic video game and ARG aficionados never heard of it? There are many reasons, but the one cited most often is player constraints. Majestic's production team wanted to simulate a realistic investigation unfolding in real time.
Things happen in an orderly fashion, as they would according to the time on the clock on the wall. So if it takes a character an hour to go from one place to another, it's going to be an hour before they contact you again through the game.
Obviously, this realism was at the expense of player autonomy. Unaccustomed to having to wait until sometimes days later to continue the storyline just when they were becoming immersed was irreconcilable for many players. But in Majestic's defense, it was never intended to resemble a traditional video game experience. Its controlled pacing and episodic nature much more closely resembled a television show or a radio broadcast, meant to be absorbed in bursts of 30 minutes to an hour, followed by a long period of downtime until the next one. And much like a television show, the elements that went into each episode of Majestic had to be filmed, edited, and integrated into the game, all of which the production team was continuously doing. Although the success of episodic games such as Life is Strange and The Walking Dead may have conditioned the current gamer crowd to more readily accept this type of segmented experience, in 2001 the idea of playing a portion of a game, only to be told to wait for the rest, was incredibly frustrating. It's also likely that the game suffered from overhyped advertising. The promised elements of faxes, phone calls, and instant messages, along with the bizarre advertising campaign, inevitably led some players to believing they'd be experiencing a certain level of gritty realism from Majestic, rather than the cheesy pre-recorded voicemails and chatbots.
Here's a little piece of advice.
Although there are some alleged instances of players receiving personalized communication from Majestic's actors, this seems to be the exception, not the rule. But with a peak player base of 800,000, streamlining was to be expected. There were also tragic outside forces which contributed to Majestic's failure. Only weeks after the game's release, September 11th happened. EA temporarily closed their servers, but this time it was due to a real tragedy. Drawing a chilling parallel to the game's opening email, the game's terroristic motifs no longer seemed like trivial topics fit for a video game. EA released a statement which said, "Some of the fictional elements may not be appropriate at this time." Once the servers reopened, the player base had shrunk from a thriving 70,000 to a meager 10,000. Not only this, but due to the massive success of the Lord of the Rings film franchise, EA chose to redirect many of their employees to begin working on tie-in games, including key personnel of Majestic. But what I would argue is the main reason for Majestic's failure is the same reason why The Secret, the national level treasure hunt covered in my previous video, was never completed. It's a matter of timing. Regardless of the aforementioned shortcomings, 2001 was simply too early for such an ambitious project, and similar to The Secret, the technology was premature. Personal computers still relied on dial-up connection, not to mention many players only had a tenuous grasp on how to navigate their prehistoric internet. The task of tracking a terrorist through cyberspace was simply asking too much of them. Game analyst PJ McNeely is quoted saying, "Majestic was like offering driving lessons to 10-year-olds. The team behind Majestic went their separate ways, many experiencing individual success. Creative director Neil Young went on to found the video game company Network. Producer Kira Snyder later won a Primetime Emmy for her work on The Handmaid's Tale. But the project which started their careers, which showed the world their capabilities and ingenuity, has largely become forgotten. So, why have I made a video over Majestic? After all, it was a failure, and perhaps there's a good reason why it faded into obscurity. Well, similar to my reasons for covering The Secret, I believe its obscurity is temporary. It's rare to see a true marriage of video games and ARGs quite like Majestic, but the interest is definitely there. And although the decade in which it was released couldn't quite accommodate its vision, we've now arrived at one that can. Instances of early arrival are often tragic, due to the fact that their true value can only be appreciated retroactively. But at the risk of innovation becoming stale, it's important to acknowledge them as important contributions, if for no better reason than to encourage creators to continue breaking new ground. Failure doesn't always mean something was done poorly. In the case of Majestic, sure, it wasn't perfect. It was frustrating and at times unintentionally hilarious.
Enjoy your sanity while it lasts.
But it also showed incredible foresight in utilizing many of the tools which had only just arrived, which many didn't understand the potential for.
I wanted to create something that leveraged the medium, was specifically created for the medium upon which it was delivered. If you think about Orson Welles' rendition of War of the Worlds, that came out at a time when radio was the most powerful medium. And what Orson Welles understood was how to take advantage of the radio medium to deliver an entertainment experience that was so different than anything that people had, had experienced at the time. And what we wanted to do with Majestic is we wanted to do a similar thing.
The players who were able to look past Majestic's shortcomings remember their experience very fondly and are hoping for an updated version suitable for 2019. And with ARGs becoming increasingly popular, there's already a built-in audience. In a world where digital contributions often depreciate with each passing year, it's exciting to find something that's truly ahead of its time. With technology having caught up with Majestic's vision, it's easy to imagine how it would look if presented today, what new forms it might take, and how the public might reassess its value now that we're ready for it. A big thanks to Reddit user Kandri, who was generous enough to recount first-hand experience of the game. There isn't much documented about Majestic, so this was absolutely essential to my research. Another big thanks to my friend and fellow analytical YouTuber Nightter for lending his voice to this video. If you enjoyed his voice and are curious about his original content, I'll leave a link to his channel in the description below. I highly recommend showing him some support. If you enjoyed this video and look forward to similar content, please consider subscribing. And if you have any suggestions for future topics, please leave them in the comments below. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on channel news, you can follow me on Twitter @AtrocityGuide.